Hello, 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 and welcome to Candrastations. I am your host, Kandra Thomas Bell. Candrastations is a podcast where we dive into authentic and organic conversations with real people about their remarkable life experiences. Our goal is to empower and inspire as we explore the diverse paths of self-discovery, healing, and self-care that leads to overall wellness. So stay tuned for today's episode. Hey, you guys, this is Kandra. I know you got to be enjoying our podcast about forgiveness, but you know we're not done. There's more to come. So stay tuned for the next exciting episode. And hey, hopefully this is something that will help you with your forgiveness process. And hey, we're enjoying what we're doing. Hopefully you are too. Talk to you soon. Now listen in. Hello, 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 and welcome to this. So let's go down to this row here because we haven't hit it. What about forgiving yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to.
You have to in order to live and thrive. Like, you literally have to. Like I tell my kids, you know, you're the only person with you 24/7. Mm-hmm. So if you're walking around with, you know, issues that you have with yourself, or that you even think is your, you're the cause of it, all it does is keep spilling and bleeding on into other areas of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's when the whole boundary issue comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, forgiving myself for all the many things I did, it was like really looking at myself. Like, it was easier to forgive other people because it didn't require as, it was easier to you know, do some level of forgiveness, some level, not all levels of forgiveness for some people. But it wasn't till I start to forgive myself for the things that I've done, hurt, and behaviors I've had, and things I participated in that I probably shouldn't have, and all of those things of my past, that I really looked at myself and I saw my eyes, I saw my own eyes from a place of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so once I started to forgive myself, releasing people and giving grace was so much easier on so many levels. Like, I hear people's pain. I hear what's going on with them. And now I'm always looking because it's something underneath. When I was doing things I wasn't proud of, or having, you know, situations in my life that I feel that I couldn't forgive myself for, I didn't look at what was underneath. But then when I start looking at how I made decisions based on hurt, my mama just died. Mm-hmm. My brother just died. I just got a divorce. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. And I was just numbing, doing whatever, you know. And those things, when I start to see how broken I was and start loving on those parts of me, and I start giving myself some grace, like Nick said, mm-hmm. it was like, grace was extended to me, and then it was extended in multiple and ripples to other people. Like, it's like the big stone of me went in the pool, but the big just kept going out and out and out and out and out. Yeah, I know I like my parables, but that's what it was like for me. So I am very gracious to myself, but I also take accountability too.
Yeah, cool. And kind of throw that in with this in there with that. When I think about forgiveness, it also reminds me of, it takes a really strong person to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes much more self-control and strength, inner strength, to walk away from a situation. And that, you know, it's pretty much the same as forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving somebody, you have to have some true strength within you to be able to allow whatever hurt that you had going on to just let it go so you can heal.
Right.
And it's, you know, it really is the one of the most beautiful forms of self-love. Mm-hmm. Let go, you know, of things that you were either blaming yourself for or mm-hmm. even things that happened to you. Because a lot of times, y'all, we be holding on to stuff that somebody mm-hmm. else did and they done forgot about it.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do I have to walk around holding all this in when you living your best life?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They sleeping like a baby at oh, night.
Hello.
I'm telling you, them 2,000 three count sheets over there.
That is so silly.
I'm serious. This stuff be heavy when you think about forgiveness because, you know, like, everything is moving so fast. And every week we see something, which I am so disconnected from social media right now. And I'm grateful for that. My fast from the 31st to it. I don't be checking in like that. So, but I needed that. But when you're flooded with things to judge, mm-hmm. things to be mad at. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Oh, that happened to me. Oh, you can identify with it. Oh, you're jumping over this. Oh, this happened. And all it do is fuels your continual process of holding on to things.
Absolutely.
Are apologies necessary for forgiveness?
Good question.
Hmm. Yeah, I was wrestling with that one too.
Good question.
I mean, ideally, you would want that person to apologize. But in most cases, you may never get it.
Mm-hmm.
To be real, now that I'm thinking about it in hindsight, because
mm-hmm.
you could go months or years without even talking to that person that, you know, did you wrong or whatever, especially mm-hmm. especially from like a dating relationship, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I may not even talk to old girl no more. And the fact that I'm holding it in the back of my head, man, I just want her to apologize for this, because I figured out what happened during this time frame and that time frame, but I just never said nothing. And I'm just holding on to it, and truth be told, I may never get it.
Mm. So here's my open apology to all those guys that I dated before. That I may or may not have ghosted. I didn't give you an explanation. I was unhealed. I was broken. And this is your public apology to move on, because I think you're a great human. Great things are going to happen to you.
Big life into him.
Okay.
I just wish you all the way, all the best and all the kindness. And I'm sending you all the healing energy, because I know somebody's probably talking to their therapist about me at some point.
That is hilarious. But you know what, though?
Give your apology to Nick. I'm just kidding.
Hey, I will. You know what? I sincerely apologize to all the women that I may have ghosted in my life. But you know what, though? To be real on that ghosting aspect, I think a lot of times it's really whether the ghosting came from you or the other individual. Depending on how you look at it, they just may have did you like a huge mm-hmm. favor.
I'm saying.
And vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So,
Because
I remember I know a coworker was trying to hook me up with somebody at one point, right? It was so funny. It's like, Nick, I think y'all be great together. Da, 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 da. I said, all right, whatever. Set it up, right? Long story short, the young lady and I, we had great vibes. Like, it was real good, you know, chemistry between us. And I thought, you know, it was going to progress at some point. But when I tell you, it was literally like that Jay-Z song, "It Was All Good" just a week ago. It was all good just a week ago. And I was like, damn, what happened? So I'm telling, you know, certain people about it and what was happening. And they were just like, I don't see why she would do it. But my cousin even pointed it out. She said, but Nick, she said, she may not be able to, you know, she was like, chances are, she's just not on your level.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and she said, and 9 times out of 10, she realized that. So she just spared you the time and the energy of even, you know, wanting to continue to talk to you. She said, yeah, it sucks for somebody to just up and ghost you and, you know, you get no explanation. She was just like, but I guarantee you, she knew she was not on your level, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she just did you a favor.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a, I don't know if y'all listen to Teddy Swims or not, but he got me in a whole chokehold. But one of his songs talks about that, where he said, walking out the door, something to the effect of walking out the door, leaving you behind, really saved my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that, Nick, is her, was her way of apologizing, was giving you your life to live.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's kind of how I've been having to look at things, is more of the half empty, and I mean half full instead of half empty.
Right. I can honestly say, pre-healing, it was all about self, and I was triggered, and I was like, oh no, I ain't doing this. Let me throw my wall up, you know. But post ghosting, post healing is like, I see something in you, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the person to try to help you get through this.
So let me bounce.
So let me just get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But before, it was all based in fear based and trauma based and that kind of stuff. But once the healing thing came in, like, if I see the conversation that I'm having with somebody prior to marriage, like, wait, you know, I was like, nope, I'm gonna have to carry this conversation. This is not gonna work for me because I like to talk. And I need to know, we need to be able to communicate. That's right for me.
Right.
So definitely one of those things to just kind of think about and look at. Those are my goals. We wasn't on the same page, or I was still in my spiritual mix, or I was still learning some things about myself, about who I was attracting, because there were still places in me that were healing and repairing, and I could see the what I was drawing into me. That, like, that ain't it. Nope. Mm-mm. This seems too familiar.
Absolutely.
No, I'm out.
Absolutely. Now, let me take you back for a minute. You asked the question, I believe along the lines, was an apology necessary?
Mm-hmm, I did.
I used to think that it was. I really did. But then I had to come to grips. Like Nick said, you know, sometimes you'll never get an apology. Mm-hmm. And those apologies a lot of times won't come because most times people don't even know that they're doing something to you.
Right.
And back to my son, it really took me having to lose him to realize you're never going to get an apology for one. And do I need to stop my life or halt my life because I'm not going to get that apology? Absolutely not. Your apology has no, you can't stunt my greatness. So mm-hmm. why do I need to wait on it?
Right. Absolutely.
Right on.
So, apologies aren't always necessary. They can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not always. I mean, because a lot of things I had to process for my own self was definitely with people that I would not have communication with, including my mom, maybe some questions for my brother, you know, just, you know, even the guys who killed my mom and stuff like that, those questions would never be answered. And so working through that forgiveness process for that was way more intense because I had to look at it. And I meant to add this earlier because when I was doing that forgiveness for myself, just like me and Nick talked about the list of the people we had to forgive, and this might be for the people listening, you might need to take you a list of what you need to forgive yourself for.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down. Mm-hmm. Look at it. Sit in it. Do what you need to do with that. And ask yourself, why am I not forgiving myself? what kind of punishment am I trying to get myself? What kind of punishment do I think I need to have because of this? And so doing that work made me dig and look at myself like, you know what? We talk about grace, but there's also mercy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so mercy says that I didn't get what I deserved. I might have got something, but I didn't get what I deserved. And so there is, the grace is, I forgive myself, I forgive others. The mercy is, I still be looking at you sideways, but I ain't flat your tires. I didn't bust your windows out your car. I didn't do any of the other stuff. So there was mercy, too.
Saying something,
I'm just kidding, for real.
But it made me really think about something you said. Gosh darn it. When we receive, even when we receive an apology, it may not be the type of apology that we're looking for. And we may tend to hold on to it. But that may be the best apology that that unhealed person can give you.
Yep.
And I think that gets lost a lot of times, that when we go looking for apologies, we looking for something in particular. And that person is on a whole completely different level. So they're not going to give you what your healed self is asking for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I was talking to my daughters this weekend, and I was just talking about people not knowing that there's something on the other side. And I likened it to, let's say you lived in an older home, the home is full of mold, and you're in this house with mold, but you're so used to smelling it and your body has adjusted to it that you don't know anything else is out there, right? And so holding on to stuff, you don't even know it could be something more beautiful, something more fresh, something more clean if you release this thing or clean this part up. Because you've been living in it so long, it's normalized in you. And you think that's where it's supposed to be when there's something else out there. But when you're in this thing and you don't explore other things for yourself to see that there's another way, you could be living in these toxic environments and just cycling it and giving people information based on your pain. And then you're spreading that and it toxifying your community that you serve and the community that you love on and care about because of you haven't cleaned your house.
Sweep around your own front door.
So we got to do the work.
Got to.
Now I have a question. So we're talking about forgiveness. You seek forgiveness for somebody, they apologize, but they do it again.
Okay. Perfect. I can go with that. So when you're doing this whole forgiveness thing, okay, so XYZ happened. We have the conversation. We discuss this thing. And you do it again. Well, what happens is, we can have this conversation, but because you neglected to follow what we discussed, then this is the new boundary. The new boundary is that access denied or revoked or put on pause or whatever the boundary is that you need. It's like with money. I can take money easy, right?
Yeah.
So if you say, hey, can I borrow $100? And I say, listen, I don't want to give people money because I don't like to fall out with people.
Time out, wait.
I don't want to tell people.
You say that all the time. It's so funny.
Right. But I'm going to tell you, this is the remedy, though. I'm going to put you out on game. So if you need $100, I will give you $20 and you ask four other people for $20. That way, not only am I mad at you, but there's four other people that's mad at you too. If you don't keep your word.
I learned that from Kendra. Listen, I learned that from Kendra a long time ago. And I serious.
But follow me on this, because in my mind, I'm giving you the 20, but the 20 is a test.
Yeah.
And so when you don't do it and you really need 500, and I got 500 that I can help you, I'm not doing that because I looked at how you operated with the 20. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
So I'm not that's mad the at thing. That at so all. Here's the thing. This is what I'm willing to do. And these are the responses if this don't happen. And so we got to be better with communicating what we need, what our expectation, and getting agreement though. Mm-hmm. Just because you tell them an expectation, if you say I need to borrow $100 and I'm gonna give it to you Friday, no, I need it on Wednesday. Well, I can't give it to you Wednesday, but I need it Wednesday. Well, then we're not in agreement. So when you come to me Friday, bringing me the money on Friday, when I told you I need it, I don't need to be mad at you because you told me what you could do. Mm-hmm. Or you keep your money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always say, you know, I was listening to Jen Hatman, and she gave the statement about expectations or resentments waiting to happen. Well, I like to qualify this a little better. It's not expectations that make resentment waiting to happen. It's expectations without communication and agreement.
We like communication.
Because if I say we're going to meet for the podcast at 8 o'clock, and we agree upon 8 o'clock, and so then you come in at 8:15, and then we do it again, and you 8:20, and then we, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't deal with this person because they don't never show up.
Yeah.
They're on time because we agreed upon this. We've communicated this.
Yep.
Right.
That's one thing. But if I said, oh, they just ain't never on time. But I ain't never told them any expectation. We're going to do podcast day around this time. And I'm loose with my boundaries and stuff like that. Well, I'm mad for you. Well, I ain't communicate what exactly I need you here at 8 o'clock. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Then we create these things. Even I'll say with parents, our kids think we're supposed to be this way. Mm. You know, we think our parents supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
They ain't never agreed to be the kind of parent in your head because you ain't never spoken out your head, out of your mouth, and communicate, can you do this for me?
Exactly. Exactly.
So it all boils down to proper communication.
Communication.
Absolutely.
And it's fine.
Conversation rules the nation, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so sad because conversation is such a powerful thing, but it's one of those top things that people run away from.
They do. And I think a lot of it is literally, you know, learned behavior.
Right. So, I agree.
So I think we may have kind of tapped into this, Kendra, on our first, you know, podcast episode together. Mm-hmm. But even if we didn't, you know, I'll just, you know, throw it back in.
Oh, that's fine. I'll read it.
Yeah, so I remember saying something along the lines of, you know, like growing up, being assertive was like never a thing in my household, for real.
Mine.
You know? Mine. Yeah. So I was accustomed to holding things in, you know, just let it roll off my shoulders, if you will. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm letting all of this stuff, you know, stay bottled up inside of me, one little incident triggers everything, and I blow up, boom, boom, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, what the hell wrong with Nick? I've never seen Nick like this before, da, 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 da. And chances are it ain't even about what blew me up. It was just the whole concoction of everything involved, because none of what I've been holding on to has been expressed verbally. Right. Mm-hmm. From my head through my mouth, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like just telling you how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got to this place of being more assertive as I am now, I remember things like, well, Nick, you always complaining about something. I'm like, nah, this isn't complaining. This is me telling you, like, the way that you're treating me, the way that you're attempting to handle me, I don't approve of. I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to help correct you so you can, you know, treat me better than what you're currently doing. But if you see it as me attacking you, then that's clearly an issue with you. That's an issue with yourself. That's something that you need to take time and explore in. I can help you. I can help you figure it out.
But not all,
but if,
according to if I it need to impact me, I help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't gonna be a subject.
Right. Right. And so, you know, that definitely became, you know, a whole issue in my last relationship. And like Kendra said, when you oh, no, that was you, Kiara, when you said when you bring it up to the person that apologized and do it again. Mm-hmm. See, now I'm of the mindset of you just can't keep it solid with me. So at this point, you're really disrespecting me.
Yep.
By continuously doing what I disapprove of. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm a whole dictatorship over here. Nah. Mm-hmm. But the way that you're trying to handle me, that's not going to fly with me. That's not going to fly.
Find a healthy black man.
Yeah, but you know.
Well, let me just play devil's advocate a little bit, right?
Uh-oh.
They're handling you from your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some ways their trauma is speaking and they don't have another language.
Right, absolutely.
So what do we do when we recognize people? Because I know, I just know for this circle on this podcast, you can recognize when trauma is speaking over the person's actual real capability because they ain't did no work.
Absolutely.
It's easily recognized. But what do we tell people when they show up in your office and they're talking about all of these people doing these things to him and they know better? When they just really operating on survival behaviors.
Survival mode, yeah.
Because a lot of this stuff, and that's why I end up giving so much grace, because I see the survival behaviors that are counterproductive, you know, to where they want to go. But I don't think a lot of them know that it's something different. And since people are not doing work, of course I'm not saying hang yourself out to dry to be the hurt one. Right. I am saying, hey, this behavior right here, it doesn't fly with me, but it's going to continue to show up in your relationships. You might want to work on that in the future, because I'm going to remove myself from being in your immediate contact until you do something with that.
Until you do something with it.
Mm-hmm. So we have a responsibility now, not just to be blaming people for stuff, but to really come from a place of compassion, like, we need to do better. I give you a case in point. So last week, I didn't tell my trainer I was coming till late on that day. And he sent me a text message. Mind you, my trainer is 64 years old.
Oh.
And he's ex-military.
Oh.
And he a Libra.
Yes.
Shout out to the Libras. The Libra.
Listen, when I say he got me together, he did. This is what he said to me. He said, my assessment of you at the time is that you lack motivation and discipline to be on time. Y'all notice I got that in my head. Because see now...
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
I'm just saying. And then he said, you need to call me or text me to let me know you're going to be 1 minute late or 2 minutes late, or otherwise I'm expecting you to be there. He Ooh. Said, but this your profession and it's our mindset. Oh, he's doing daggers, right? And so he said, these things will trip you up in the future. But I know you better than this. And at the end, he said, because I asked, could I come another day? He said, yeah, you can come another day. But I'm only sending you this test because this text because I know that better is in you. And so I humbly accepted what he said, and I make it my point to be there before time. Like I do all these other little trivial things that I'm doing, mm-hmm. but that place is 5 minutes down the road. But I was late all the time, and so it wasn't of importance, and it was and it's disrespectful too. So I don't mind taking accountability, mm-hmm. but my son's brother had died, and we went to the funeral. He called to check on us, mm-hmm. and I said, "Well, hey man, well I got you on the phone. I want to tell you I appreciate what you said to me. Although it hurt coming in, I received it because I haven't had a father in my life since I was 18. And every bit of that information came to me as like a father was saying it to me. It came as a very matter of fact, this is the order things, you should do this. And I needed that. And I appreciate that. And so sometimes people don't like to take accountability for those things, and they can't hear
it. I was about to say, that's why they respond so negatively.
Because they don't want to be better.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But better is in you, and other people see better in you.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to today's episode. I am signing off. This is your host, Kendra Thomas Bell. And I just like to let you know, if you are in need of therapy, I am a licensed therapist in Atlanta, Georgia. You can reach us at dynamicchangecc.com. If you would like to find another therapist, you can try Therapy for Black Girls as a directory. You can also try Clinicians of Color as a directory. And if you are looking for a male therapist in the Metro Atlanta area, please reach out to Counseling Brothers of Atlanta for your therapy needs. We look forward to helping you through your journey. This is not a substitute for therapy. We wish everyone to have an individual and a collective journey for therapy, healing, and self-discovery. So thank you for listening to Kendra Sessions. See you on the next episode.